In the beginning, God, the all-powerful one, God, the almighty one, God, the one who Isaiah describes and says that his robe fills the temple, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the scripture says that it was at that time the earth had no form. And there was darkness everywhere. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And then the scripture said that God began to create and he would speak words. And I challenge you today to this, that God speaks and things come to life. He would speak words and things would come to life. But when it came into forming you, he didn't just speak words to form you. The scripture says that he actually took the dust of the ground and he formed man and woman, formed from the dust of the ground. Now, what God forms, God fills. What God forms, God fills. And so he formed, and as he formed, he said, that's not enough. And so he held man, who was formed from the dust of the ground, and the scripture said he breathes into his nostrils the breath of life. This is the air we breathe. This is the air we breathe. You need that air. And so as you sing it as a declaration for your life. As you sing it as the thing that could change all the things that are happening in our surrounding. Everything can come to life with the breath of God. And so it's our breath. Let's do it one more time with more conviction. Come on, come on, come on. It's our breath. It's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we
Now we will not preach. We will not preach until you make that declaration. Because it's that declaration, it's a breath. That meeting with the word, the word, the written word of God is going to bring power into you. And power into this church. And power into this neighborhood. And so it's your, come on, 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 come on. Come on.
It's your breath in our lives. Your breath.
When I began to notice that God was had caused an earthquake in the church, we experienced an earthquake in the church in 2016 or somewhere thereabouts. But before this took place, for me, I had gotten to that place with the church where I was having trouble. staying. And I was looking at the realities that my neighbors in the neighborhood of Linda Vista were living through. Poverty, homelessness. And for some reason, I was having a hard time skipping over people and going to go and have a church experience and coming back and behaving as if the people we are seeing don't exist there. So right before that time, I traveled over, you know, back home. I tried to go back home to Malawi every year. And as I traveled, I wanted to stop by a town called Soweto. Because in the town of Soweto in South Africa is a place that had been marred by extreme racism. If you could study all the racisms in the world and you created a perfect baby, that child was being birthed, had been birthed in South Africa. And in Soweto, in the place that I went to, that I was standing at, was where the climax of this scene, where the ugliness of the scene had shown itself. A place where killings had taken place for young boys who were just trying to express themselves and the difficulty they were having in their own country, learning in languages that were not their own and things like that. And so I was standing there, I was in Soweto, and as I was looking around, then the words came, "Son of man, can these bones live again?" And as I was standing there, it was as if I was taken from that space and I'm no longer in Soweto, and suddenly I am in Linda Vista, back in the neighborhood, back in a place where I had sort of begun to gravitate away from this idea of wanting to do church anymore. "Son of man, can these bones live again? Can they?" And so as the Lord spoke, and a shift took place in our lives, to where we wanted to step into some of the realities we're seeing among our neighbors, forming a community that resembles the same thing, church, but this time with the people that were going through some of these difficulties all around us. And it just so happens, and I wonder if this is your reality, that it just so happened that at the center, the place where this thing, this expression, this ecclesia, the gathering of the people takes place, it just so happens that all around it sleep people that have nowhere to go. And as if God was saying, "You're not going to be able to escape this reality. Son of man, can these bones live again?" And my first question to God was like, "Lord, like, I don't got nothing. How are we going to get this job done?" And then the prophetic word that we started to utter everywhere in the neighborhood, even to people that didn't believe, we just said, "Help is on the way," because that's what the Lord said. And I wonder if this is a word for somebody in this room today. I know that you're in a dry place. Hold on. Hold on. Help is on the way. As the Holy Spirit is our help, help is on the way.
Help is on the way. Right about the same time that prophetic word was being uttered in Linda Vista, I was preparing to go to the Holy Land. And I got a phone call, and it was my good friend Noel. We had met 10 years before in Malawi. And over the 10 years, we become friends, and as things would happen in ministry, we would call each other and update each other and pray for each other. And on this particular phone call, he began to describe Linda Vista. He began to describe this under-resourced neighborhood. He began to describe these under-resourced schools. He began to describe this largely immigrant community, and something began to awaken inside of my chest. And I couldn't shake it. And as I traveled to the Holy Land, there was this, this feeling that, that God was moving me out of one thing and into something else. And I remember talking to my wife, and I could just describe it. I couldn't define it. I could just describe it. And I don't know if you've been there, just something spiritual, something soul level was happening. And I just knew, like, God was doing something. And that phone call was in the back of my mind, this idea of this neighborhood and this prophetic word that help was on the way. And towards the end of that trip, I found myself in the Jordan River. And if you know the Jordan River, you know that the Jordan River was this pivotal place for God's people. It's where they crossed over from one place to another place. It's where God took them from this place of captivity and into this place of freedom, where he reoriented their life from this life of slavery into these free men and women. I stood there in the waters of the Jordan River, and God just really quietly brought me back to that prophetic word that help was on the way. Because sometimes it's us who cry out for help. And in other times, he tells you that you are the answer to other people's prayers. And sometimes those things are connected, and sometimes it's both at the same time. But he said, you are part of the help that is on the way. I got back from the Holy Land, and I called Noel, and we began to make plans to come into, with our families, into this ministry in Linda Vista. And as we went, it was with the reminder that we stepped into this spiritual wasteland, and it was dry. Not a whole lot of churches start or flourish in Linda Vista. The ground was hard, and in fact, I remember praying, like, God, this is hard. And even Noel said, you know, we asked for the hardest terrain, and God answered it. He gave it to us. And again and again and again, God has brought us back to this passage and to a prophet who faced, I wouldn't say a similar, but he was given a vision of a spiritual wasteland. And it's found in Ezekiel chapter 37. And we know it by this prophecy of the dry bones. And for us, it always resonates because sooner or later we get to this place of dryness. Or we observe dryness. We observe this place marked by captivity, this place marked by spiritual death. We find this place of hardship. And God brings his man Ezekiel, beginning in verse 1, God gives him a vision. And it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me," me being Ezekiel. "And he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones." And it's meant to be a grotesque, disturbing picture. It's meant to shock you. You imagine the man of God, he's been taking this vision, and God sets him in the middle of this valley, and it's just full of bones, not just a few. It's full of bones. "And he led me around among them, and behold, there are very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry." Not just dry, but very dry. Not just dead, but very dead. What they once were no longer. What they were created to be was no longer. What they were designed and breathed life into, and these spiritual, physical, emotional heights that was behind them. I don't know if you've gotten to the place where you feel like your best spiritual days you've already lived. I don't know if you've taken inventory of your life recently, and you look back and this feels like you, these dry bones. That's where this question comes into play. Verse 3, "And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And friends, God doesn't ask questions like this because he needs the answer. God asks questions like this because he needs you to know the answer. So he says, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, oh God, you know. It's a good answer. And then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and you will become flesh to come upon you, and they will cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And here's the why, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound. Behold, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and sin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet. Listen, an exceedingly great army, from the graveyard to an army.
And the hand of the Lord was upon me. The hand of the Lord was upon me. First of all, when you hear that, don't look for a physical hand. This is an anthropomorphic term, it's called, to try and describe something so holy and deeply spiritual and to have it enter into our reality. The hand of the Lord was upon me. Me, the hand of the Lord was upon me. How can something so holy rest upon something so filthy? And yet the hand of the Lord, the scriptures say, was upon me. And not only that, it says, and he brought me out into the spirit of the Lord. He brought me out into the spirit of the Lord. I didn't know that the spirit of the Lord was a destination. I didn't know that this was a place. But it says that have you ever been there? I described it a bit for you, being in Soweto and be taken in the spirit of the Lord. And it feels like in that time, time itself and space has been bent to where you find yourself in a different place, in a spiritual reality, but it feels absolutely physical. Perhaps you've been there in worship where you're taken, and the place you're in isn't the place you're in anymore. The hand of the Lord, the Almighty God, was upon me, and he took me out into the spirit of the Lord, and that is going super well, because the spirit of the Lord, that's a place I want to dwell in. That's awesome. It's great. But friends, what do you do when the Spirit of the Lord takes you into this glorious place and it sits you in the valley? Wait, what? This was going so well, God. I just wanted to be in your spirit. And you put me in this corner. Now I can't go to church, and I have to look at all of them before I come to church. They sat me down in the valley. And behold, in the valley there were bones. And I could do dry. But these were very dry. And you thought dry is where it ended. But what if God ordered dryness for his purposes? You all blame the devil for everything. There are some things that are happening in your life that you don't agree with, that you don't like, that seem terrible, that have been ordered by God for his purposes. I know that the American will is very strong, So we'll just wait and watch. It's going to be the will of God versus the American will. The dream of God versus the American dream. And I'll just step out of that. And I'll just kind of watch it. But this is a reality we find ourselves. Are we going to do just what we want? And we want things to go the way we want them to go? And we want God to serve us spirituality in the way that we want God to serve us spirituality? But what if he takes us from his spirit and precisely to a place we don't want to be in? Very dry.
And it's there that he asked this question, but he prefaced it by saying, "Son of Man," and I like that because he highlights Ezekiel's humanity. Son of Man, can these bones live? And sometimes you can look at something like that and this context of standing in front of this graveyard, and that question can seem cruel. Like, what's the, like, why would God bring Ezekiel here? Why would God bring you and I to the place of dryness, or expose it, or reveal it to us? God sometimes brings us to that very place because he wants to demonstrate that there is no darkness, no death that is stronger or more powerful than his word and his spirit. My friends, sometimes God has to bring you to the place of pain. Sometimes God has to bring you to the place of failure in order to demonstrate his power over those things. So he says, "Son of Man, can these bones live?" And you can use that metaphor and apply it in your own spiritual life, the state of your soul. You can apply it within your marriage. You can apply it within your family. You can apply it within your community. You can apply it within your church. There are those moments where we look and we say, there, like, if this is me, it's a logical answer. No way. They're bones. Bones don't just live. In fact, dry bones, they don't live. And very dry bones definitely do not live. In our hood, the word over and over again was this forgotten community. These kids who were struggling in school, many of whom are illiterate. Families who hide from ICE raids. Most of our kids that we work with from the elementary all the way through high school, they're on government-supported lunches because they're below the median income. When you look at it, our answer would have been, "I don't think so." But again, God brings his man to a theme that begins in Genesis and finishes in the garden. Because God takes from nothing in Genesis, and with a word of his power, he creates. He takes from the ordinary in the book of Acts, and with a word of his power, creates the church. And we're told someday you and I, when we are no more, with a word of his power, will take our bones and bring them back to life. Over and over again, we're reminded of a God who can speak into nothing. He can speak into the mess. He can speak into the chaos. He can speak into the ordinary. He can speak into the ugly. And with a word, he creates life. His word forms. His spirit fills. You see that? His word forms and his spirit fills.
So I prophesied as I was commanded, verse 7. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together. There will not be a prophecy about breath until you come together. You're not going to be able to do it on your own. God has brought you together on this corner for his purposes. He's not going to bless you privately. It's not going to happen. This is where this rugged, like, individualism has to die in the church in order for Christ to be elevated. It's going to take all of your voices, all of your giving, all of your, and let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit is doing a new thing. I know you've heard that many, many, many times. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you right now, in the season we're in right now, just look back in the last 3 years and see how many people have said the Lord has spoken to them and something new has popped on the basis of what the Lord, all over the world, by the way. The Holy Spirit is doing a new thing. And the Holy Spirit is doing a new thing in this space. I don't know. Maybe you should just look back to where you were. What happened in your life in 2016 or around then? Just take a look. Because the Holy Spirit is doing a new thing. And let me warn you. Can I do that? Don't bet against the work of the Holy Spirit by pulling in a different direction. God is doing something here. The formation of it will only make sense when we are together. And oh, by the way, for the larger church, the formation of it will only make the most sense when we as a body are together. But in our little corners of the world where God has called us, we have to come together there. And then so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they lived and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. One of the things I've been amazed in, at least in our community, is the first thing I said to the Lord after I started to see people assemble was, Lord, then you're going to have to give us the gift of healing. Because the people that are assembled here are sick. These are sick people. They are sick. And I wasn't saying that as a bang. I was like, they're sick. I mean, these are sick people. So you're going to have to do something. What has amazed me is the same. It's as if God said, heal your own people. Our men and women on the streets now are becoming the voice, yo. The places we go to, you heard about our partnership with the University of San Diego. The students are not gathering to hear us. Students are gathering to hear our men and women, some of whom are off the streets now, some of whom are still on the streets. Because in the way that God wants to do this, in the way that God wants to receive his glory, it's going to be that story. We're fine. It's going to be that story that God wants to use to glorify himself. God, by the way, has put you on a strategic corner in this city. If you can see that, then I'm just sorry. I don't know what else to say. God has put you on a strategic corner in this city. This. For many of you that are younger, you didn't even build this. This is what the Lord said when he said, I'll give you houses that you did not build. So you're here. You got this. On a strategic corner in the city. The world will hear what Covenant did. Come together. Come together. The American church has this subtle scene of self-prioritization. Come together. Come together. Please come together. is coming. Don't prioritize yourself. Come together. Be with us. You cannot be the body of Christ by yourself. The scripture says, I have received from the Lord that which I also give unto you. And so, do you ever take... Ladies and gentlemen, the Eucharist, which also includes a gluten-free Eucharist. Hold on to this for me. How ridiculous would it be that the Lord has given you something and you held on to it and you just kept eating it and you didn't pass it down the aisle? Pass the Eucharist. The Lord has done plenty for you. Pass the Eucharist. You shouldn't be showing up into community and people are just hearing about the problems you're having. There's a lot of great things God is doing in our city, in your lives. America, this is America. This is the United States of America. And God is doing a new thing in the United States of America. And God has given you plenty in the United States of America. So Pat comes up on stage and he sings because he's passing the Eucharist. What has God given you? Pass the Eucharist. Remember the body of Christ. And then Ruach Elohim. And breath comes. It'll come. Breath will come. It'll come. Sons and daughters of God will be revealed. Breath will come. Don't worry about breath. Do what you need to do. Come together. Then breath will come.
Yeah. One final thought, and then we're out your way. There are two reasons why in the prophecy, God breathed life into his people. The first one is repeated twice. The first one is so that they might know him. God is breathing life into you, not for you to run your own race, but for you to know him. And as you are here and as you're searching for him, and as you're searching for answers and you're searching to know him more, that's the very reason he breathed life into you. We're told in Romans that the very life, the power that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in you. And the reason why that took place is for you to know the Creator. And press into that. The second reason why God breathed life into his people, did you catch it? Was to create an army. And I like that. He doesn't create a club.
You sure it wasn't a book club?
Did not create a book club.
Book clubs are great. They're great, okay?
He doesn't create a sports team. He doesn't create a group of friends. The purpose of him breathing life into these people, these dry bones, and setting his spirit within them is to fight. And like Noxie said, we're not playing games on this corner. There is a spiritual battle that God has breathed life into you for. And it takes place, for the most part, outside of these walls. And please understand, young churches like ours, we look up to churches like you. We need you. Know that your reputation has already gone out. And like, we love Danny and his family. We love Pat and his family. But know, like, your faith, like Paul talks about in his letters, like, your faith has already gone out. And there's a generation and a neighborhood right here that needs an army to continue to rise up and to fight the battles that God has called you to. So in those moments where you might be growing weary, knocking on doors in North Park, and trying to fight against these issues that are creeping in, as you fight on behalf of the hungry and the marginalized and those who don't know Jesus and the broken, understand, like, it's the very power and breath and Spirit of God that resides in you. And you weren't here just to sit. The fact that you are part of an army, you have already been recruited to the fight. So our prayer for you is for courage and that you would fight well. Continue to do the good work that God has put you here in North Park to do. Thank you so much for having us. We love you guys. We've never met. We know some of your folks, but we love you and know that our community, we look up to you guys and a lot of the things that you're doing. We love your pastors and your elders. You're an elder? Mm-hmm. I thought you were a pastor. Mm-hmm. I thought he was a pastor. Mm-hmm. It's just words. Yeah. Semantics.
Yeah. Thank you. God bless you guys.